because the pavement width was narrowed by 2 foot. The chairman asked,
what would that do to the circulation?
Would it really make a difference? Our engineer hasn't had the chance to look at any templates. Just look at lesser pavement.
Yeah. How about if we make the north and south parking comply and have an exception from the easterly parking?
To me, that would make a little bit more sense.
Okay.
So we're only looking for exception for the
easterly parking.
Easterly.
If you don't reference the number, it becomes a condition. So, for example, I think you satisfied two. If you don't say you satisfied two, and you say, well, can I cross it out, that's going to be a condition if there's an approval. Right? I cross number two out, is that correct?
Yes.
How about number three?
B3,
is it a condition?
I mean, not.
Or is it now satisfied?
I haven't seen revised plans, so how could it be satisfied?
That's a condition. Yeah. Number four, provide testimony. It looks like they provide.
The testimony for the pavement width of circulation, stadium equipment, and stored in the dirt.
They provide testimony. So far, the conditions are, unless you tell me differently, A1 through 6.
Correct.
B, 3, and 5.
Right? Correct.
If okay, now go to C. Number 1, I think you provided the testimony, correct?
Correct.
And just so you know, if there's an approval, there's going to be a condition that if any sand or whatever kind of name you said, I have that, it either has to be in bins or concrete barriers or whatever. I don't want you to be surprised.
Okay.
What about C2?
Will comply.
Condition.
C3, will comply.
C4.
We'll comply, but my statement is typically we show the existing conditions as a point of reference. And I think what they're asking for is to remove the existing conditions from beneath the plan.
Yeah, I mean, typically if you have an existing conditions plan and a demolition plan, unless you have to overlay an existing condition over the condition, you typically remove it, declare it. So if you, let's say you're going for a permit and there's a footprint requirement or whatever it may be to show a pre-existing nonconformance or some kind of reference that needs to be shown, you keep the overlay, otherwise you remove it for clarity. So this was more of a cleanup.
Right, that's more of a matter of opinion.
You agree. You might disagree with the
other. I agree to disagree, yes.
Okay, so we got D1 through 13. Which are conditions? Just tell me the numbers that are conditions. Tell me the ones that are satisfied. Tell me if you want to talk about them.
D, it's all will comply.
Everything.
Yes. Okay. E, it's same. D is the same. F.
You're roll now, baby.
G, H, I.
Fully comply.
Yes.
Operations manual number 2 and everything under it.
Yeah.
And then number 3.
Whoa, now you're going too fast.
You
said everything under 2, comply.
Mm-hmm. And 3. And 4.
Right, report.
Okay.
Can I make one statement though? When it comes to the stormwater basin, tell me where you are. Under the page, stormwater review comments that start on page 6,
mm-hmm.
3. Until we see revised calculations, as to the questions that we had on the permeability rates that we used, so knowing that the pond is part of a setback variance, if the pond changes, not just for the setback issue, but just for a visual with the board may approve, I would just like to have some kind of condition in there that if there's a substantial change to the pond, nothing minor, but substantial change to the basin, that would require either an amendment or a bit of work.
Do you agree with that? If you guys agree with that, I'm going to ask you to write that kind of here for me.
Is that a substantial change to the basin?
The rates were...
It shouldn't be.
Okay.
Do me a favor.
There's ways that you could.
I mean, the shape's going to stay the same.
Yeah.
The base, the bottom may get a little deeper as you go up and around, but the shape of it.
We'll agree to that. If there's a substantial change in your opinion, we'll have to come back and let the board.
If you want to have it in there, and then there's a substantial change.
That's fine.
From the number three, the fourth floor. Give him a minute, please.
I just want to say in line item B, paragraph E, under the area that Larry is talking about, the bypassing, possibly bypassing the stormwater, is that something that you'd be looking at also? I don't know.
Oh, yes, coming down the driveway? Yes, we've discussed that, yes. Yep.
I think we're into the Burgess report.
Burgess report dated September 17th.
We talked about the outside storage, I think, at length in the beginning. Number two is the parking. We've also talked about that is now complying. The access easement, we talked about that in the beginning. The landscaping, we've talked about at length.
Just back to the easement, is there also a utility easement? Could you just discuss the nature of
it? Yes. Yes, there is a utility
easement.
That's one and the same, right? It's within that same easement. Yes, it's the same easement.
More than one easement, let me say.
That's the proposed access and utility.
Yes.
Okay.
Talked about the landscaping. We discussed the lighting. We discussed the signage.
Okay, and again, the lighting is going to comply in all respects. Correct?
Yes.
Let's go back to the sign. Is that so? We're not going back to signage. We're now going. To
so I'm going to
set yeah.
We're at signage.
Was the answer yes, you'll comply with all lighting?
Yes.
Thank you.
Question that sign. So the freestanding sign, will that be illuminated?
Internally. It's not been fully designed at this point, but the intent would be internally illuminated.
I'm trying to recall whether or not that's permitted. Put it this way. He said they're going to comply.
I think it's not permitted, I recall. I'm trying to remember.
That's my recollection. But I'm not positive. So you'll comply.
It'll comply.
Okay.
I mean, like I said, we haven't designed it yet, so.
Okay.
Don't guess what he said. But there was a comment brought up by our lane for that sign. I believe that was a sign question.
Yeah, that comply with the lighting standards.
What's the date of that lighting report?
September 17th.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 1.2, the bottom of the page.
1.2.
Very
fine. It says the detail indicates the sign of the entrance will be internally illuminated. Provide the necessary information for review in accordance with 165.74D4. I have 2 points.
No.
Yes, and if you wonder, right, what I just said, damn. Because I went so fast, it's not there now. So, yes. On the Mott McDonald memo dated September 17th, 2019, which is the lighting review, item 1.2 notes that the sign elevation on sheet 10 of 11 indicates that the sign at the entrance will be internally illuminated. And then they note they wanted the applicant to provide the necessary information for the review. And according to ordinance section 165-74 capital B, paren 4 M paren, because apparently there's a requirement that the internally illuminated signs shall not exceed 75% of the IESNA luminance recommendation. So apparently internally illuminated signs are permitted, but there's a standard that they have to meet. So the answer is you're going to comply. And you're going to comply with 1.1 because it says that you comply now. And what about the 1.3, the hours of operation?
Don can testify to that real quickly. It's generally
For lighting purposes.
Oh. We've indicated that the lighting would be on and then off when the building's not in use and we'd have security lights. Yeah.
Did we say somewhere that was on, did they say it was on timers or not?
I don't know if it's on, is it on timers?
It probably will be, but it's going to be an hour before we start, an hour to close the day with the exception of some security lights.
What are those hours?
Yes.
Right. Normal hours?
6 to 5.
6 to 5?
6 to 5, Monday to Friday? Saturday?
Sometimes Saturday.
Excuse me, sir, is that 6 to 5, those are the work hours or the lighting hours?
It would be the lighting hours.
The
hours would be very similar to that.
But you said the lighting's on an hour before and an hour after. So what are the normal work hours?
More normal work hours are 7 till 5.
So the lighting hours would be 6 to 6.
6 to 6 for the lights, working hours.
With the exception of security.
7 to 5, Monday through Friday, sometimes Saturday.
And would that include the signs? The signs go off at night?
The sign is not a security light. In fact, it's the opposite. The sign is an attraction. Okay, we'll put that on the timer also.
Number 7 pertains to the trash enclosure. We will add the appropriate details to the plan.
But it will comply.
Yeah, we'll comply. Yeah.
We've already discussed the retaining wall. We're going to comply.
The retaining walls, as the note puts on there, they may not exceed 6 feet. We will comply. They're only 4. I believe the steep slopes is just the note which is on the plans.
Whoa, we can't hear you.
Number 9, the steep slopes is already on the plan, and I believe he's just noting it.
So you comply with that?
Yes.
So I did have a few just quick additional questions, similar to the hours of operation, just information for the board. How often would you expect deliveries to the site on the period?
Outside deliveries would be very limited.
Absolutely. And
what's on a job by job? It's not the kind of thing where most of our materials ready for the job. Some accept the stuff out there, and then we would bring it to the job.
But not multiple times a day?
No.
On a limited basis?
Right.
Will deliveries be limited to the hours that you're working?
Yes.
That's a good question. Yeah. Let's put a condition. What do we want deliveries, either before you guys are on the site or after you guys leave the site? The next question would be pertaining to the outdoor storage. It's the question we always have with outdoor storage. How do we prevent the storage areas from expanding over time? Not to be accused of it, but just are there any measures in place that would prevent that with either curbing or fencing or...
I believe I heard earlier somebody suggested perhaps Jersey barriers be in so we can confine it in some fashion.
No, those are individual little areas.
If I may, more specifically, that's why we put the curb on there. And
so
to keep it from...
The depressed curb, but now there's a curb around...
The depressed curb is only on the west side, and that's to accept the water going into the basin. The rest is going to have full height curb.
Is that on the plan somewhere?
Yes.
For example, if we didn't have the curb here, you can see the equipment or the storage isn't on the...
Right.
So, you not only have the curbing, but you also have the trees with that. around it.
You have landscape, you have an element of containment.
Yes.
So, the curbing is shown on that plan?
Yes.
It's shown on that exhibit or shown on the plan?
Yes, both.
Okay, and the curbing on the
perimeter of the entire contained area.
Okay, and then what keeps the stuff from not creeping towards the building? Have a
circulation of the vehicles.
Yeah, could you put concrete?
Well, if you creep towards the building, you're not going to be able to get the vehicles to circulate.
Well, or
and we also have it delineated on the plan where
or depending on what the material does, vehicles will be crashed right over it.
Correct. I believe the board, when it granted a variance for that, the auto place.
We put monuments in the ground,
right.
Some form, so that you could identify the various corners.
Right.
So if we had to stick a monument.
The place where you were photographing cars?
Right. Right. That parking area was monumented with something that you could find, but they weren't like stakes in the ground.
Right.
So we'll put a demarcation of
so
this.
So concrete monuments at the corners that don't have curves.
How about if we paint it?
Just put concrete monuments.
Just
a monument.
And you can paint it also, but the paint's going to have to replace the paint. The monuments will, you know, when they're down, you know where the corners are.
And the problem with painting is it's covered over by sand.
Yeah.
You wouldn't see it.
So will the monuments, but I don't know.
How much sand?
Okay.
I'll be
down my list here so we can move on to the next question. So is it your intention for moving from the Route 31 site to this site, that you're leaving that site entirely, or you're getting old?
Once we get a CO here, we can
move it.
When we get a CO for this other project, we can move everything.
I think my client just indicated that when the CO is issued for the, if we get the approval for the new site, we will everything will be relocated and the Route 31 site will be cleaned up. We did discuss this. We probably like a 12-month period to make sure we get everything over from. Because you get a CO, now you can enter the building. It's going to take time to bring some of this stuff over, but we'd like a period of time to deactivate Route 31.
You've got to work that one out with the zoning officer. Unless that other site's not in front of the board.
I was going to make that argument, but I believe it should be a condition, and we're willing to submit that condition because I know it's a concern of the township. And so we'd like the right to continue on Route 31. We get our CO. We're going to move out of there.
So you're saying that the condition you're proposing and willing to accept the condition that says within 12 months of getting a CO to this site, you have to vacate and move out of the Route 31 site.
Correct.
Who owns the Route 31 site?
I do.
What do you intend to do with that site after you move out of it?
At this point, I don't know. I've had a lot of people interested in the site. I really don't know what we're going to be doing until someone gets serious, until we get out of it.
Do you know the address of the Route 31 site?
1206.
31.
North.
Okay.
Just two more. And it's probably obvious at this point, but you'll be the only tenant on the site. There won't be any other contractors, parking, storage. Final question. You don't have to answer it now, but you're requesting a use variance for outdoor storage, and the question will be, again, you think about it, why can't some or all of the storage being proposed outdoors be conducted in this?
You can answer that very quickly.
I think we discussed that. Much of our equipment we fit in the building for starters.
The stuff was in good. Take that table knife and put it right next to it.
Much to answer your question. The site that we've marked up here with all the different dumpsters and those are not included in this list, but I have a list here with 11 items that won't fit in the building. And when they came back on site, they would be in these temporary locations. Okay. Inside the building, we're going to be putting several pieces of smaller equipment all of our concrete finishing equipment, concrete sawing, scaffolding, forms. We're going to fill that building up very quickly.
For the most part, the vehicles will be stored outside, so that's part of the storage?
For the most part, the vehicles will be out. Whatever we can put in the wintertime in the building, we certainly want to put in the building.
How about, is there an opportunity to create some sort of building for gravel, etc.?
That would be another structure, though.
Which is permitted, technically.
A structure?
What's that?
Would be an interior structure?
It would be permitted. I'm just trying to get some more questions.
The amount of sand that we're having there is not going to be on a full-time basis. We may have a few times of sand. We would put it in a containment area. We wouldn't just spread it over, but we would contain it to where to go that route. That outside storage of material is not going to be a major concern.
What's the ceiling height for this building?
14-foot doors. I think we're right around 20 feet, 18 feet. That includes the slope on the roof.
I think the architect will cover the architectural report and the environmental report. Actually, I was going to have Don testify next as to a couple of items. So are there any more questions or anyone from the public who would like this question? Maybe somebody walked in. I don't know.
But Jim Kyle has his hand up.
Okay. There were a couple points, Don. I think we've already touched on them. But in the environmental report, there were questions about how you handle hazardous material or what kind of maintenance you might do in the building. Can you just quickly discuss that with the board?
Maintenance that we perform is very limited. It's changing oil, tires on occasion. Anything that's major requires major maintenance or even major repair on that.
And with the oil, and I don't know if there's any other substance, do you maintain the appropriate records?
We do have the records, and then we get the oil, bulk oil, the store, and antifreeze, hydraulic fluid, things of that nature.
Okay. And
I'm sorry to jump in on the maintenance. So will all of the maintenance be done indoors? Vehicles and so forth.
In other words, if you have some vehicles that are too big or equipment to fit in the building, how are you going to do indoor maintenance on that? Are you going to do outdoor maintenance on that?
We would, some of those excavators, when they came back, we would pull in front of the mechanics bay on the concrete apron and work on the machine that's in front of the building.
Yeah. If the maintenance is oil or something, then there's no containment on that.
The concrete slabs.
Yeah, the concrete slabs.
The same as there would be in the building.
There's no, in the building, you don't have curbs?
No.
Outside?
That's not usual. That's an unusual situation. That curbs inside of the building. They do it in food warehousing to keep the 4-foot pallets. Okay. They do it in food warehousing a lot to keep the pallets away from the building and even 18-inch space. I've never seen that in a warehouse or in a garage.
Well, in a warehouse, I haven't seen it, but in a garage, I have. Because it's a form of containment, it keeps it still.
Are there floor drains in the building?
No. The material we're talking about, you know, quarts or gallons, not large amounts of bulk.
The board has decided one of the things.
There could be a plan that you would have for operating the maintenance just. Not passive, but active measures you can put in, like still rooms or still kits. And
I'm not familiar with this. How do you do, oil changes and maintenance on equipment and vehicles on Route 31?
Basically the same as we're planning on doing here.
You have still kits down there?
Yes. And our drums are all in plastic. liners to keep them releasing oil drums. We don't hold, we've got maybe a 55-gallon drum of oil or two on site, but it's not like storing hundreds of gallons of material.
But you do have spill kits and you have preventive measures should something happen, and you maintain the appropriate records that you require to and dispose of the used material properly.
I know that when you have an SPCC, gold prevention kind of control measure plan, there is active and passive measures you can do this lot. You can have signage, you can have oil water separators curved, and you can have booms.
But you're not going to have oil water separators, you have no drain.
But you can, those are passive, you can have active. You can have measures you put in place as part of the plan. It's not unheard of.
Okay. Is this plan required by?
Not for something like that. It would be for more larger, for like if you have an above ground oil tank and you're getting delivery, things like that.
Yeah, typical something like this, the spill kit is usually satisfactory.
Well, what do you think is the same, you mentioned the top 100 per gallon, but what do you think is the quantity of oil or petroleum type products that you keep on site?
Normally now we have one to two 55-gallon drums of oil, and maybe 55-gallon drum of hydraulic oil and antifreeze.
You're making the point you're not overly concerned.
Yeah, I
agree. I'm not overly concerned.
Can you just describe to me like a spill kit? It's like it looks like a garbage can on wheels, but instead of being like green, it's yellow, and it has like absorbent blankets.
Blankets inside that you can contain the weather spill, you can lay those on, there's stuff
you then you blot out the oil and you throw the things out in this thing, and then you have someone pick it up and take it away.
It's kitty litter.
That's the work done inside the building or outside?
He's saying both. He's saying outside they would do work on a concrete pad. And so they would have to pay attention to that also. That's what he's saying, right?
Yes.
And the outside contractors that you have maintaining your other equipment?
That would be offsite.
Can you take it to them?
Yeah.
Okay.
You use Jesco a lot for the equipment. And,
Just to repeat, you indicated earlier there'd be no washing of vehicles on the site. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
So
unless we had someone come in and outsource it, they would collect the water. But that would be the only exception there. In other words, all these companies come in, they put up the platter, and they wash something down, they take the water right with them.
Okay.
Thank
you. I didn't know people did that.
I didn't either. You see more oil spilling out of all overall stadium racing than where you are.
Oh, yeah.
So it's an accident. They throw kitty litter and they get the blower, they blow them
away.
I love these people. I like to go to the races, I don't want to get shut down.
Well, if you go to the races, they build basically a swimming pool around the fuel truck and park it in the middle of that. So that's contained.
Are there any other questions of the engineer or Don at this point? I don't think I have anything further for him.
Was that everything on the Environmental Commission report? Did you?
I think we've just touched on their. They had concerns. They wanted testimony. They asked about the hydraulic fluid. We just covered that. We talked about the equipment. There's no idling. There's a Clean Air Act on. You don't allow idling beyond that period of time.
Three minutes.
Okay.
These trucks will shut off now in 3 minutes.
Okay. We discussed the water. So I think we've touched on all of their concerns.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then Craig, you're dismissed, and Kyle Van Dyke. Did you bring copies of your renderings? Or?
I have them on the board.
Oh, you got them on a board?
Yep.
Okay. And I think we've got to mark a few of these quickly if we can. What do we have? Two boards? Which board are you going to start with?
Excuse me, just a point of order. I don't think we've qualified Mr. Van Dyke.
No, I will.
Soon. Oh, okay.
I just thought I'd mark these.
So you're going to jump right into the displays then.
Jump right into the displays.
You're starting with A7, right?
That was A7 on one set of pictures and A8 on the other. Kyle, you indicated when you were introduced you're a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey.
Yes.
And how long have you been so licensed?
32 years.
And you have a license in the state of New Jersey?
New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Pennsylvania.
And you've testified?
You
guys
speak louder.
Really? Okay. New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Massachusetts, and what was the next question?
I was going to ask you, you testified before boards such as this, probably.
Yes.
In an official architectural
capacity. Pennsylvania. Okay.
I would offer him as a licensed architect.
You question your degree, education?
I got a Bachelor of Architecture from Kansas State University.
Okay. Any questions as to his qualifications? No? Okay.
I marked, I guess it was A7. Which is a series of photos, or renderings, I guess.
Yes.
Excuse me, renderings?
These are renderings.
Okay. You want to just start at the top and work your way to... Just use that one.
I was asked to prepare views from Route 78 and Route 22, and in order to have accuracy, there's three steps we use. First of all, we use... our technology Revit is a program that we use for our building, which allows us a lot of accuracy both in site planning and in building. So the first thing we did was to go out and take pictures of the site from various places on Route 78, looking back into the site, and on Route 22. The second thing we did was to model the building accurately for its dimensions and height. And the third thing we did was to accurately model the site. So it's when we set the building onto the site, we set it exactly the way site plan is. It has an exact height, its exact floor level on it. And also, then we looked at placing, we take pictures of from a photograph standpoint, and we mark our GPS coordinates when we take the pictures. And then when we take the camera and we get the angle of the photos you're going to see, the building angle, we take those GPS, the GPS coordinates of that on site, and we also use visual things to make sure that scale wise everything is accurate. So, I'll pull this up a little bit so you guys can see them. These are three of the same photos. One's an existing view.
The rendering from 78 or 22?
These are from 78, I'm sorry.
So A7 from I-78?
That's correct.
Which means A8 is going to be rendering from Route 22?
Yes. So we have three views at the same exact spot. An existing view, a building in place without any vegetation, and then the third one is with vegetation. I'll go through each one. We did this as existing because this is the opening that we talked about that is actually out over here. This whole area is open where they're going to be adding more trees and things. So we show that, and then the same view, after the building's been placed and modeled according to the correct elevations and all, we put the building in there. That's without any trees. And then this is taking the exact tree arrangement down here and intermixing them with both deciduous and conifers to give this. These are mature trees. We didn't have the exact types of trees.
You're referring to the bottom.
The bottom one, yes. I'm sorry. The bottom rendering is the one that shows with mature vegetation in place. And that's the one with the building without any vegetation. And this is the existing site. Now, obviously, these are in the summertime. You probably have 40% less vegetation or more view later on. But basically, that's exactly sort of what the building, and it is accurate to 95%, I'd say.
What's the height of the evergreens you have on the bottom side?
Those are in between 20 and 25 feet, something like that.
So what's the projected growth?
I have no idea. I mean, these are mature. I think these would be mature.
How many years in after that?
I really don't know. We take trees and we say this is a mature tree. It's on our program. We just take them. I'm not a landscape architect, so I couldn't tell you what the projected growth rate may be.
How tall? The trees that were planted at 6 to 10 feet, how tall are they?
Those right there are about 20 to 25 feet. In range.
Jim, how, in general, for an evergreen like that, if you plant it at 6 to 10 feet, how many years could you get it to 25 feet? Somewhere between 5 to 10?
I'd say 10, yeah. Depending on the species, I mean, it's going to, you know, certain species grow faster than others. I think we talked about switching that from the evergreen to a Norway spruce, and they can grow 6 to 8, sometimes a foot a year, depending on conditions.
And your engineer testified that as soon as they were planted, you wouldn't see the building from 78. So
you might see pieces of it, but
with your rendering, you can't tell because that's a 25 feet high.
Right. And it closes that whole gap that's out there, too. So
I get that.
Well, that one would show the existing vegetation with the proposed building. So obviously it is visible.
I feel like you need to see, like, the winterland view during, like, right after planting to actually kind of understand.
Right, that's the view that's missing.
That's the view that the engineer testified it, that you wouldn't see it. That's the view. That would be the 64,000. You put that up there, you can't see that building, you're done.
Well, you're going to have
I think we're saying you won't see it the day we plant it.
That's what he said.
The middle view is not helpful because it won't exist with a building but no trees. When the building's there, the trees will be there, so middle condition won't ever exist. Is that correct, roughly speaking?
That's correct. I mean, I just showed that as a pure, you know, if you didn't do anything and you just stuck that building in there, this is what you would see.
Right, and that's not what's going to happen. You're going to stick the building in there, and we need to see what kind of trees. That's the view that's missing.
Got it.
Like I
said, if these are 25, then you're going to have a fairly...
You're not going to see a lot of the building. You might see part of the top of it, and you might see some of it between them, but pretty much it's well screened at that point.
These photos are taken where you've got a place. You're on the northern side of the west bottom lane.
Yes.
So if you were even closer on the east bottom lane, driving 65, 70 miles an hour,
it goes fast.
Would you even see this if you're going westbound?
No. I mean, if not the passenger might, because they might be looking at it, the driver might see it.
They don't much have to be looking backwards.
Okay. Right. The second board that was shown here, which is, what is it?
Eight.
Yeah. The only one we did from Route 22 because it wasn't really necessary to do anything else. We took this from across the BMW sales. And this tree line isn't so high. This is the shape of the building behind that building with the existing trees as they are.
And you're showing the proposed building in kind of a red line.
That's right.
Line,
yep.
And that's below the.
That's exactly where the building line would be on that site with the existing trees. And I think you got a couple more trees that are going up, behind that. And these are just renderings to show you the actual building itself with some textures and colors, which the architect will be talking more about.
That's like a brick base, and then an architect will go through it.
Yeah.
Brick and then it's metal panel?
Right, yeah. And we're going to show you the metal panel shortly.
Just to relate,
the top image to the site plan. Mm-hmm. That building, the BMW building, is the building shown in brownish tan?
Yes.
Is that that building?
Yeah. We were taking it, that shot's taken like that way.
All right.
And the brownish one you're referring to, the A4 overlay, and that is the BMW building.
Questions?
Any further? Thank you.
Okay. Any? I guess I'm going to call Keith Chambers. Okay.
Got there. They shouldn't have to be marked. Those are the ones that they have in the in their package.
Okay.
Right. Just, no need to mark it.
Okay. Can you? I'm sorry.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. I was going to use this.
You're a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey.
Yes.
How long have you been so licensed?
I graduated from the Bachelor of Architecture from NGIT. I've been licensed in the state of New Jersey and Pennsylvania for 29 years. I've owned my own firm for 18. I've testified before this board many years ago when it was Bunt Park and we were doing the concession building for them. Mm-hmm. And I've been many other... Okay, sorry. I've been through many boards, and most recently there was one in Mars Plains that I just testified, so I've testified before many boards.
Okay. Any questions as to qualifications? No. Okay.
Okay, and you prepared the set of architectural plans that are before the board?
That's correct.
And just very quickly, are these two sheets?
Yeah, there's A1 and A2. A1 is the architectural floor plans, and A2 is the elevations.
Do you want to review those quickly with the board? Is the board... If you could just go out.
What do you mean? If you want to briefly touch on it, not quick.
Right, briefly.
Briefly. It's a pre-engineered metal building. It's 80 feet by 240 feet.
Is it a pre-engineered metal building or a full
one? No, it's a pre-engineered metal building.
Okay.
Steel structure. We have the office area here. We have a heated warehouse, and then the rest is just storage, unheated storage.
When you say here, are you referring to the west side, east side?
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're going to have to bear with me here, because I don't have a north arrow on my plan, but the east side is the office area.
So the east side... consists of a part storage room, a break room, bathrooms, and small lobby and office.
That's correct.
And then behind that is a
heated shop, and then the
much larger unheated area.
That's correct.
Okay, and then at the bottom of your plan, you show the attic storage, which is above the office.
Above the office area, that's correct.
Don described the building as 240 by
80
feet. And how high is the roof?
The 23 feet. And to the ridge, it's 25, 6.5. It has a slope on half on 12. And some of the issues that were brought up by Michael Hanrahan, who I went to school with, and I had a conversation with him, we went through his comments. And with the first one being colors of the new building were not provided. We have some samples that I guess George is marking with his little marks.
I guess I have to.
We have these two metal sheets. A9, which is the lighter gray, is the main color, correct?
That's correct. And the darker is the trim.
And I will stick an A10.
There was a comment that there was no building colors provided, so we're providing the colors now. And
A9 is the light gray metal panel, and A10 is the darker accent panel, gray accent panel.
Now I understand the foundation of the building is what?
there's a split face block wainscot that the mason will, Don Baker's, will be doing. It's up 7'6" and it's earth tone to match the gray.
And the gray, the light gray, is approximately how high before you hit the accent, or how much of the accent is shown?
Well, 7'6" is the block wainscot, and then from there up to 23 feet is the metal, the light gray. And then you have the trim for the gutters, and the trim around it is the dark gray.
Can you take exhibit A8 and give that to Mr. Chambers? That's that one.
Okay, that's a good idea, John. Thank you. So I'm looking at one of the renderings. It's the middle picture. I don't know which one you want to use. Either the bottom or the middle picture, and just describe what you just said.
Right. We have the wainscot that comes up 7'6" high.
And by the way, why do they pick 7'6"? Is that
block horsing?
But why that high? Why not 4 feet? Why not 10 feet?
It was discussed with the client where they want to.
Is it an aesthetic thing, or is it to protect that portion of the building in case a vehicle?
Both. Aesthetic, and it will protect the building from.
And does this also match up with the windows and the door
heights? The door heights.
So if you're looking at A8, the middle, you can kind of see the block, the doors, and then above it you have the lighter gray,
gray panel.
Right, the dark and dark,
a little dark,
the dark gutters and trim.
And what color is the roof? And I assume that's a metal roof also?
It's a metal roof galvalume, which is the color. Just there's no color here for that. It's just, you know, whatever.
So yeah, that's like a silverish gray.
That's right, the silverish gray.
And it tones to a gray as soon as the weather gets there as well.
That's correct.
Now, there's a couple of design standards in the Route 22 car door requirement, which we're asking for waivers from. One would be having a pitched roof is required. I believe it's an 8-on-12 roof. If we put that on this building, what would happen?
If we put that on this building, we would go up exceeding the zoning requirements of 32 feet. We'd be up in the area of 51 feet.
Well, that's if you kept the eaves the same height.
That's correct. And we need that for the garage doors, for the trucks to get into the garage doors.
14 feet.
We need 14 feet to get the doors so the trucks can pull in. And so keeping that height, if we went to 8-on-12, it would put us at almost 51 feet. So we're keeping it down low so it won't be seen. It'll be hidden behind the trees and keep the pitch low. And that was the reason.
Any other exceptions we're looking for here? Down here.
Yes, we, you know, gray is an earth tone in my conversation with Mike Hanrahan.
That may be your end of the conversation.
Right. All right.
I'm only asking because our ordinance reads red and white or brown.
I mean,
does it matter to you if it were, if it were brown?
To me, red, tan, white.
He's asking him.
I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry.
If it's brown, trunks and trees are brown. I mean, does it matter to you if it's brown or gray?
Let's say this. I would be willing to work with the board, whatever they feel would look the best. That look.
We have a color chart.
Do you have a color chart here?
Yeah. Don't you have a color chart right there?
So, Don, aren't most of your vehicles gray? I mean, isn't that where it originated from on this day?
Well, plus, like, I really felt this time of year especially, the building would hide itself because it just, everything looks gray in the wintertime and the leaves are off the trees. It's just what I was thinking anyway.
But you'd be willing to put a tan one there?
I would be willing to work with the board or with the...
Plus, it's past the color guards for you guys. Is there a brown in that car?
Yes, there's a beige.
Country wheat.
Those
are the colors that bother you. Country wheat.
I know. I'm getting nervous here. I can't come back.
The issue is this. if you can comply with the ordinance and you don't want to, you have to give some reason why not. So all the arguments you made on the site plan, great arguments. If the ordinance prefers the earth zone,
but these are
and you want to have gray, then make some argument for why it should be gray and not earth zone. If you're willing to comply with the ordinance, it's the path of least resistance, but it's up to you.
Let me just reiterate then. The reason we picked that, two reasons. One is it's our company color. All our vehicles are that color. But equally as important, I think, the building will kind of camouflage itself during the fall and winter months better with that color than a brighter color. That was my thinking, but I'm not locked into any.
Right. So the answer is we're requesting a waiver. However, the board does not feel it's appropriate because of Don's explanation of the gray skies in the winter. We'll put a tan there. We'll pick one out. Whatever the board wants or the professionals.
If you raise the point, do you have a preference?
I mean, honestly, from a personal perspective, I like the gray better. And it's funny that Don made the comment that the streets are not really bright in the gray. However, going with what the ordinance says, which I think is it impracticable to put in an earth zone? No. So,
but in our judgment, if we believe a design waiver is appropriate, then this is the opportunity this one. We could do that.
If you believe
we had that certain amount of
color,
the primary facade has to be but we're so far back from the
okay, but we need a waiver. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
That cover these.
I understand that.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I can't read right now. My eyes are all blurred.
How about in this case? Okay.
I think we also make the argument that the gray would be less visible in the wintertime when there aren't leaves on the trees. So we would block the building when the leaves are. So.
Are you also in favor of gray?
Yeah.
Okay. John, do you care?
I don't care
about it. He said, I'm colorblind, makes me a bit mysterious. Does anyone else see? Anyone object to gray?
I think has proposed this one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you guys like your color chart?
See, this color chart was worth its weight in gold.
Well, yeah. Keith, there's a couple other design waivers, or exceptions rather, that we're talking about. Would you cover those briefly?
Yes. The traditional pitched roofs, requesting a waiver on that based on the distance back it is from Route 22. We're 460 feet roughly back from 22. You know, you won't even see the building, so we're proposing a low-sloped roof, so you won't see it. It's not a flat roof like the BMW or some of the other buildings in that area. We do have a pitch on it to create drainage, but it is, you know, it's not a traditional pitched roof that they're saying the design guidelines are. The next one is dynamically shaped, you know, volumes, rural architecture. We're asking for a waiver based on the storage for trucks, and it's, you know, it's not going to be right on 22, and it's not going to be, you know, a fancy building that you can see from 22. The proportion, the new structure matches the scale and proportions of the other storage and office buildings in relation to the dealership and the new office buildings adjacent to it. Some of the other waiver is 30% of the primary facade of the building setback line. We are so far back from 22 and the setback that you don't, you know, it's impossible to meet this requirement. Over 100 feet of horizontal building, need 4 foot of vertical deviation. Okay. Sorry. Over 100 feet horizontal building, you need 4 foot vertical divisions. Based on the configuration of the lot and the use of the building, we feel that, you know, the square building is more what in keeping with what Don needs for his building and for his trucks and to get everything in. The next one was a capper belt course to separate the wainscot from the siding. We will comply with that because Baker is a mason and he's doing that kind of work, and he'll always does a belt course on top of his wainscot. That's the block on the bottom. So he'll have a belt course, and then your siding will start above that. The next one was primary facade has to have between 15 and 80% glass. We submitted our A2 drawing later on after the initial, when we got the comments back from Mike Hanrahan, and we increased this amount of glass on the office area so that we were in compliance, so we will comply with that.
So we have 16.6%.
We have 16.6%, which falls between the 50 to 80 that's allowed. Mechanical equipment will not be on the roof. It's going to be at the northeast corner on the ground, a residential type unit, so you won't see it. It's not going to be up on the roof. And the last one was used.
So is going to be screened? When you say you won't see it?
The building will, it will be screened by the building. You will not see it behind the building.
The unit will be 3x4, John.
It's a residential style for the office area. It's not very big.
The building will screen.
And the use of exterior metal wall panels.
I'm saying we'll comply, we'll comply, we'll comply. We're going to say that it...
That's correct. That's correct. We do comply and we will comply. Yes.
Jay.
Exterior metal wall panels are discouraged. Unfortunately, this type of building for this type of use, pre-engineered metal building, it's the best application for this type of building. If we were to go to wood siding or, you know, we do have striations in the metal siding. It makes it look more residential in feel. It has the vertical break, so it's not a completely metal flat building. And again, it's so far back from the highways that you won't even see it, probably. So, you know, it helps to have the trim and to break it up and the metal striations to break up the verticalness of it. But we feel that it's the best use of, to use a metal panel.
Okay.
And, you know, it holds up the best, you know.
I have a couple questions on this. I thought you had a heated garage.
Yes. Portion. Right.
Portion.
Right.
So electric heat, oil heat?
Yeah, that'll be gas. We have gas. We do have, it's the only utility we have on that site, but we do electric and gas.
Okay, so you have, that'll be gas.
Yes.
The windows you talked about, you brought up an increase from the running office.
That's correct.
We have windows on the garage doors.
Yeah,
we will have, we're going to have lights in the building. I mean,
windows.
Windows, I'm sorry, natural.
Mm-hmm. So I'm you already comply with the 15%.
Right.
Okay.
We tried to stay away from skylights. Never really thought about window panels.
More windows.
Something to think about.
And floors. Would you consider those for anything?
If they still have some of these great deals out there as far as rebates, I would definitely consider that.
Okay. Yeah. And they would be flat. You'd only see the height.
No, they'll be flat on.
You wouldn't see them from the ground. And when we order the building, we'll just. George keeps taking this over here. The panels, when we order this building, we're going to build a little heavier collateral load on the roof, just in case we want to go with them. We wouldn't have to do any supporting later on if we want to go with solar panels.
Is that an option to put in at this time? Not a condition, but it's up to them. Instead of coming back.
I don't know, but it would be a very bad precedent to grant them an approval for something that they haven't even
received.
All right. You're talking to Steve. He obviously already thought about Steve, so things are good.
No green. And I think that...
That concludes, yeah, the Mike Hanrahan report of September 17th, yeah.
Other questions?
Further questions of the architect?
No. I spoke to Mike Hanrahan earlier today, and I asked him whether or not there were any of the comments in his report that were functional in nature, or were they all purely aesthetic? And he said all purely aesthetic. He had no functional concerns. And he, in general, was not overly concerned about the waivers because the building was not visible from Route 22.
Thank you. If there's nothing further, then I'm going to ask for James Kyle to come forward. Thank you, Chris.
I'm all mixed up.
No.
So just take a time check. Is this your last?
This is it. This is it. Thank you very much. And thank you for requesting a report. So we have a script to follow, and hopefully we can get through it. And
remember, don't go fast.
Just be concise.
Chuck, you'll yell at me if I'm too fast anyway.
Right.
So it's okay.
So, Jim, would you give the board the benefit of your educational professional background?
Sure. I have a Bachelor of Science in Environmental Planning and Design from Rutgers. Can't see you over there, Tom. which I received in 1996. I've been a practicing planner, licensed since 2001. I've advised a number of boards such as this. We have a number of communities that we serve as planning consultants for in both Hunterdon and Warren counties. I'm also a member of the American Institute of Certified Planners. I've been qualified as an expert by over 225 boards in the state, including past appearances here in front of the zoning board in Clinton Township.
Right, and we've already qualified you on Marilyn Hurst case.
That is correct.
That's and the last on the Baptist camp.
That is the other one that I worked on recently as
right,
well.
So you've previously been qualified. So does anyone have any questions?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate that.
Jim, you prepared a report at the board's request. It was dated January 24, 2020, and it was submitted to the board ahead of time. Is this going to follow your testimony?
Yes.
Basically? Okay. Then I will just turn you loose.
Okay. The one thing I did want to clarify was in my report I identified that we may need an outdoor storage variance. The ordinance does...
Right. We definitely, the board professionals believe absolutely it's required is from ordinance section 165-103. 102.
Okay, and the reason that it...
102B 2 3 and they've asked them some questions about containment structures, and the only time that they dealt with saying that something complied with it is if it also had a roof on it. So here, what he's proposing to do, for example, you might have sand, you might have stone, you might have gravel. So he said, yeah, he'll put barriers around it, but they haven't asked, and I haven't suggested a roof or anything. So I would just
go with the use variance.
Go with the use variance.
That's fine. Okay. So, as Mr. Bilt said, I did prepare a report that was submitted January 24th. Let me just run through in a concise manner the findings in that report. So we're here seeking two use variances. One, the fact that the construction use is not listed among the permitted uses. And, in fact, in reviewing the ordinance, there is no district in the township that specifically permits this type of use. Office use is obviously permitted in a number of the districts, commercial and research office and manufacturing, but this specific combination is not something that's contemplated in the ordinance. And then, of course, the outdoor storage component, which we just talked about as well. So to address the use variances, first, as the board has heard many times, we're required to demonstrate both the positive and negative criteria, and here on these D1 variances, on the negative, the enhanced quality of proof under Medici v. BPR, which is a finding that the variance is not inconsistent with the intent and purpose of the zone plan, proof that essentially reconciles the governing body's omission of that use as among those as permitted. So on the positive criteria, I think the public welfare is promoted because this site is particularly suited to the proposed use. Sorry, Barbara, one second. So we have, first and foremost, a property that's located in a non-residential district. You know, we're not here seeking to put this in a residential district. I think that the use that we're proposing is compatible in form and function with uses that are permitted in the zone, as well as uses that we have surrounding us. So if you look at a lot of the automotive-related uses that are on the site just to our east, you know, the building form there is very similar to what's proposed here. Those are rectangular buildings with garage door bays, where they have clients that come to the site, although Mr. Baker doesn't really have as many clients come to his site. But the form and the function of those sites is essentially the same or similar to what we have here. The other thing that's unique about this site, well, not unique, there are a couple other flag lots like this, as Craig pointed out, next door, but this site is well buffered from the surrounding roadways. So from Route 22, this site will largely be not visible. We have significant buffering at the front of the lot where the flag stem comes up. And then we also have topography here. This site rises well above Route 22, which will further limit its visibility. Similarly, from Route 78, we've kind of talked about this small window of existing area where you could see this site as you drive by. But traveling the 78 corridor for a lot of the work that we do for Warren and 100 municipalities and having driven by the site on the interstate a number of times, it's not widely visible. There's a small window that we're going to fill in. As you can see from the landscape plan, we'll be adding a significant amount of buffering. But I think as far as the suitability of the site, we have good existing vegetation that kind of surrounds the perimeter here that really is going to limit visibility, which we will supplement with additional landscaping. So I think based on the the existing topography of the site, also the existing vegetation that we have and the configuration of the lot, I think it's uniquely suited to the use that's proposed. I think there's also some purposes of zoning that are promoted by the grant of the variance, and they include purpose A, to promote the public health, safety, and welfare. Again, the grant of the variance here promotes a use that's compatible with those that are permitted in the zone as well as those that are surrounding the site. And really, development of this specific use on this lot will be well buffered from surrounding uses and not visible from the surrounding roadways. So I think that promotes the public welfare. Also, purpose G, to provide sufficient space and appropriate locations for a variety of uses. Again, really counting on the site suitability testimony that I just provided. This is compatible with the surrounding uses. And really, if we were going to have this use anywhere within Clinton Township in the zoning scheme, this is probably the place to have it, with the Research Office of Manufacturing. That's where we have the most compatible types of uses in form and function. And then also purpose I, to promote a desirable visual environment. As I said, this site is particularly suited based on its topography and the existing vegetation that we have, and we have, I'm sorry. So we can take advantage of that, and for use, particularly with the outdoor storage component here, I think that this site is suitable for that because that storage area will largely be invisible, even from the surrounding uses that we have on adjacent lots. So we're placing it at the rear of the building and on the west side, and most of the developed uses are away from those locations. So we expect that this is the best way to address this, and I think we'll promote that purpose of zoning. As to the negative criteria, the grant to the variances here, I don't think we'll have substantial impairment or impact to the surrounding properties. You know, as I've said, this site is fairly well isolated from Route 22. It's fairly well screened from the adjacent uses. As you can see, the landscape plan, we're providing one more module than is required, and it's a fairly generous landscape package. With the evergreens that we're providing and the configuration, I think we're going to do a very good job of hiding this use from the surrounding properties as well as from the highway. So the end result will be that it will largely be not visible, so I think we'll really be diminishing that impact. As far as any, you know, issues with noise, odor, glare, I think, as I've said, this use is pretty compatible with what we have occurring on adjacent sites. I think we're located well enough away from those sites that we don't expect that there's going to be any impact from that. I think a lot of the activity that you have on surrounding lots, other auto-related uses, you have similar things happening. You have trucks coming to the site. You have employees coming to the site. So it's not something that is going to be out of character with things that are occurring on adjacent lots. So I think overall, the impact will not be substantial on the surrounding properties. As far as any impact to the zone plan and the zoning ordinance, in my report I outline a number of objectives related to the land use and management plan. And the ones that I really key in on to provide for a reasonable balance among various land uses, and I think here the fact that this use is not permitted in any district in the township is telling. This will help promote that goal and objective. To provide for desirable non-residential development in appropriate areas of the township that will complement the existing character of the community and which will aid in broadening the local tax base. I think really all of these are promoted, and the point in listing, this represents the sum of all the land use objectives. So really, when you look at these, I think that the grant of the variance here will not be inconsistent with any of these objectives, and that's really kind of the measure that we have here is, you know, is there any one thing in particular here that this proposal would potentially impact it to any great degree? And I think the answer, in looking at it from, in my opinion, is no. The last thing that we have to kind of cover on the use variance side is, slow. I really don't feel like I'm talking that fast, I swear to you. No, I know. I do this in Raritan Township all the time, and I'm sorry, Jackie. My apologies. I'll try to slow down. I feel like I'm crawling, but it's not, I guess I'm not. Okay. All right. Okay. Sorry. So the final part of the Medici analysis is, you know, how can we reconcile the grant of the variance in this case with the governing body's omission, continued omission? And I think I would lean heavily on the fact, as I said, that this use is compatible with those that we have on surrounding properties, and it's also compatible with those that are permitted in the zone. This use will not be wildly out of character with what we have there. As I said, the form and the function is very similar to what's already occurring on surrounding properties and what could occur in the future. So I think that's one way that we can reconcile. The other is that this site is fairly isolated from view, and particularly when you look in the context of the Route 22 corridor design study requirements, that's focusing on improving the appearance of the corridor for those buildings that we have up near the roadway. And this site does not function that way. This site will be isolated from view, and I think the impact will be very little. So I think that's the other way that we can reconcile the variance here is the relative inability to see the building and the activity that's occurring there. So I think we can prevail on both the positive and negative for both of the use variances. As far as the bulk variances that are requested, again, we did eliminate the maximum depth of measurement variance. We do have the lot width variance, which I believe qualifies as a C1 based on the fact that we do have a hardship in that we have developed uses on either side of us. We can't really acquire any additional property to remedy this, so I think it clearly qualifies as a hardship variance. And there should be no substantial impact on the surrounding properties from that. All of our development is, again, focused in the body of the lot, in the developable portion of the site. So there's really no impact from this variance and the configuration of the lot on any of the surrounding properties.
Excuse me, could you back up a second?
Sure.
You're going with a hardship variance on...
Lot width.
On the lot width. Okay.
Yeah, because really the only width that we have is the 60 feet along Route 22.
Yep, no, I'm good.
We have the flag. And as far as the intent of the standard, obviously lot width, that's geared at creating lots that are of a regular geometry. Again, I think the fact that we can't comply with this physically based on the developed nature of the lots on either side means that there should be no substantial impairment to the intent of that standard. I think, you know, we do have a regular lot. It's just not right along the frontage. So all of our width is up in the body of the lot. The setback relief for the detention basin, I think there's probably a C1 and a C2 argument here. I think C1 in that...
The C2 is C1, if you made the building smaller, you can make the parking lot smaller, you can make the detention basin smaller.
Okay.
Go to C2, helping out the maybe drainage area for the BMW.
So we're going to go with the C2. in that this position or this location is really the best spot for this, and it does really help, as Mr. Baker said and Mr. Stiers observed. Right now, we're not catching all the water that's on this site. So by positioning the basin in this location, we can capture all the stormwater on the site and attenuate it and treat it in a manner that's not occurring today. So really, from a planning perspective, and there's a public welfare benefit really to the neighboring properties from doing it this way, because we're going to fix a situation that is currently impacting the surrounding property. So there's no substantial impairment or rather impact to the surrounding property. I think in this case it's really a benefit. The other thing to point out is that the positioning of the basin won't be visible from the surrounding properties, and we're also going to buffer that. There's additional landscape buffering that we're going to put in that basin to address some of that potential impact. So I think overall it won't affect the neighboring properties, and the intent of that standard I think is still met here, because this basin will not be visible from surrounding properties.
Just a quickie.
Sure.
Going back to the list of the variances that Jules gave in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
he didn't list that retaining wall setback. Does that need a variance from that or not? This issue, the minimum front yard requirement.
Right. I did not list the retaining wall because we did not go into. Although Craig Stiers did point out where they are going up the driveway.
Does it require a variance for the retaining wall or not?
Well, I think it was a question in our mind as well, so I would be curious to know what your professional thoughts on that are. So it's a situation where, we have this flag stem that goes down and touches. I mean, it's...
What's the ordinance requirement that we're talking about?
All structures not specifically permitted herein are prohibited within yard setback areas, including basins, stormwater management facilities, lighting, concrete pads, and retaining wall.
Okay, so the retaining wall has to comply with the setback. It doesn't comply with the setback because you got the flag.
Yeah, it's only 60 feet wide, and okay. The setbacks that are required.
And so I assume this one's a C1.
It is. And this, as you remember, Mr. Stiers talked about the existing grade of the driveway, which we have to flatten out a little bit. So the only way that we can practically do that is by installing some retaining walls on those sides to kind of ease that slope into a more regular pitch of 8%. So it's really the existing topography and really the configuration of the lot in this flag configuration with the flagpole that comes down. It's impractical to comply with providing that outside of the setback. So I think there is a practical difficulty that we can demonstrate. As far as any impact to the surrounding properties from this, while we do have developed uses on either side of the driveway, the structures that are on those properties are well away from where the flag is. So the automobile dealership facility is located well to the west. And then the developed use on the adjacent lot with the retail is pushed a little farther to the east. So for the most part, the walls will not be visible from those locations. These walls are not tall, so I don't suspect that they'll really be visible. And the coloring that we're using, as you saw in the sample, is kind of an earth tone that will blend in. And really, people are only getting a very small view of this as they're driving by on Route 22. And I don't think there's any substantial impairment to the intent of that standard, given the practical difficulty that we have in meeting it, and that, again, these walls are perpendicular to 22, so they won't be as visible from those locations. And I think that's really the intent of those standards, is to limit front yard intrusions that are visible to the general public. So I think we can meet that without substantial impairment to that intent, given the practical difficulty that we have.
let me just make sure. This easement that you have, you're 100% sure that you're allowed to put the retaining wall on the easement area. Okay, let's say...
You say what if he's incorrect?
No, believe me, I'm like one step beyond that. I don't even think I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
too
hard
to change. I speak to both you and Jim.
Sorry. Yeah, up here. Oh. You need a little braces under your arms, right?
The elbows.
This is the issue. The retaining wall not only is on their property, it's on a neighbor's property. Now, fortunately, Mr. Gill set the foreplay when he put his notices up. So now he knows 200 feet from their property. He noticed 200 feet from the neighbor's property. Technically, they didn't request a variance for the retaining wall on the property, but the notice is, I think, the catch-all. Would handle it, especially since he did the double notice. So my suggestion is that the resolution specify that the variance for the retaining wall in the side yard setback not only applies to this lot, but it applies to the neighboring lot, just to dot the I's and cross the T's.
Yeah, for the notice, then I have to extend the 200 feet for the neighboring lot.
It did.
He did that, just in case.
Okay.
That's what I had to check. I'm in the hall before I open my big mouth. Is that the notice? So I'm fine with it. Board have a problem with that?
No.
Yeah.
What is the lot number?
I got to look at the. I can tell you in a minute, John. Jim, why don't you just continue and I'll give John that information momentarily.
Well, that was all the testimony I had to address the variances, but just one thing I wanted to say about the exceptions. So, as the board has discussed and was pointed out by one of the board members, the MLUL standard for the granting the exception is that there's some practical difficulty or it will exact undue hardship. I think we've heard testimony on all the exceptions. They're really design issues. Both our architect and engineer have addressed those. And there's a court case that I cite here in my report, Garofalo v. Burlington Township. Garofalo, G-A-R-O-F-A-L-O, v. Burlington Township. That was 212 NJ Super 458. It was Law Division 1985. And the court in that case just said that waivers simply have to be reasonable under the facts. So I think we've provided testimony, which I'm not going to reiterate, from the architect and the engineer. And in my opinion, the exceptions that we're seeking are reasonable based on the site conditions and the difficulties that we've testified to this evening.
Okay, now. Here is the reason that you need the D1 variance for the outdoor store. So 165-102B governs outdoor storage in commercial or industrial and RLM zones. The ordinance provides that storage areas shall meet the location requirements for accessory buildings. The ordinance contemplates that if you're going to have outdoor storage, it's an accessory use, not a principal use. So the question is the outdoor storage a permitted accessory use? When you go to ordinance 165-183, that's the accessory uses in the ROM3 zone. It allows that permitted accessory uses under subsection E, other accessory uses customarily incidental to the uses listed in 165-182. It limits the accessory uses to only those that are permitted.
Correct.
The construction is not permitted, that use, therefore outdoor storage is not a permitted accessory use under the MLUL 40:55D-1. It's a use for a principal structure. Not, so this is not an accessory structure. It's a use, whether it's permitted or accessory. That's why you need to be required for both the construction facility and the outdoor floor.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's what it's I just wanted to tie, you know.
No, that makes sense. So that's good. Wrap it up and put a bow on it. Thank you, John.
Did I look at that?
That concludes your testimony.
It does.
Are there any?
My testimony too.
Yes, right. I'm not going to take any time wrapping this up. I think you get the gist of where we're going. The whole idea is this is a flag lot. This is a great use for it for Mr. Baker. We're also. I'm going to ask, John, you typically, if it's approved, you give us 2 years to secure this building permit?
Correct. If you want more, now's the time.
We'd like three. I was going to go to four, but I don't want to, you know, pigs and hogs. Okay. Three would be fine.
Before we get on to conditions, can we talk about the testimony on the uses?
Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get ahead of everything.
Yeah, well, you assumed the close here, which may or may not happen. But I have a number of comments on the use, which I want to get on the record here. And overall, I don't have a whole lot of heartburn with the use here, but I do with some of the justifications here. And I appreciate your documentation. It was very useful, and I went over this in great detail here a number of times. So I just want to kind of highlight a couple of the questions that I have. It seems to me that and I'm speaking for myself, the other board members may feel differently here, that this is principally a case where the negative criteria is de minimis. It's very small given the nature of the use. So I didn't lose a lot of sleep over that, but I was struggling to find the positive criteria here. So, you know, putting aside for the moment the suitability, I know you talked about MLUL, purpose AG, and I really struggled, I'd say, with your justification, and I'll go through them one by one to give you my read on that.
Sure.
Purpose A, promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. So can I say that this site is improving safety or morals? I don't know. That's a stretch to me. I saw in your write-up, you took that as the basis, and then you went on to talk about the affords the opportunity to screen the outdoor storage. Maybe true, but I'm not sure that that's got anything to do with purpose A of the MLUL. So, let me just finish. You can comment.
I'm going to let you finish. I'm okay. Sorry. I wasn't taking a breath.
Right. I'm not sure that I'm buying that one.
Okay.
Purpose G, provides sufficient space and appropriate location for a variety of agricultural, residential, recreational, et cetera, in order to meet needs of all New Jersey citizens. Well, that could be said, I suppose, for any use on any lot in any town. So I'm not sure what makes that special in this particular case. I didn't see a compelling argument there. Purpose I, promote desirable visual environment through creative development techniques. Did I see creative development here? I would argue you guys are the opposite of creative. You've gone with practicality and asked for a number of design waivers that the architectural team said you guys aren't meeting the standard. So I think you've got a hard argument to make here that there's creative development techniques here. So I'll stop and let you comment on those, and then we'll come back to suitability. So am I off base here? And so please point out why.
And I'm going to try to do that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
So I think, you know, I would definitely agree with you. So as far as public health, safety, morals, I'm focusing here more on a general welfare benefit. So general welfare is kind of a nebulous thing, but let's look at the fact that this use in particular is not permitted anywhere within the township. So I think that when we look at the characteristics of this use, the general welfare benefit here is that we have a site that's particularly suitable because we can really take this use and hide it.
That goes to the negative criteria. I'm asking about the positive criteria.
Well, I think that's a positive benefit to the community. So if you think about...
Let me just stop right there. Is the positive criteria simply that you're minimizing the negative criteria? Is that positive criteria?
I think there is a general welfare benefit that is gained from that. So
let me ask you this. Yeah. Other than the applicant, who benefits by putting this site in and explain to me how they benefit?
So can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Have you been by the site on Route 31?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And you can see a lot of that activity. So a lot of the storage that occurs there, that's kind of out in the open, more or less, we'll say. It's very visible from Route 31.
Yes.
I think the general welfare benefit here is taking this business that's been in the township for 40 years, keeping it in the township, but putting it in a place where those visual impacts that some people might find offensive, and from a zoning perspective, particularly when you look at the outdoor storage requirements, we're trying to conceal or hide from...
So let me stop you there. I think you're making a good point that's not in your report here. Let me stop you, Levon. If the argument is this benefits the community because it cleans up an ugly site on Route 31, that's a positive criteria. It's not in your report.
No, I understand that.
That should have been one of your lead arguments. And then, of course, it's got to be a very stringent condition in the resolution. I know we talked about that before, but you'll have to testify to this. If that's part of the argument, you're going to clean up a mess someplace else. Now you've got positive criteria, and I can see who benefits anyone who's driving by Route 31. It doesn't say that in here.
Well, in Jim's defense, that decision was only made recently by the applicant on what was going to happen.
I'm just saying it's not in the testimony.
It's now in the testimony.
Now it's in the testimony. Now it's on the fly. And we've got to flush that out because that's one of the...
That's why we have oral arguments instead of doing everything on the brief.
Yes, I'm, which is why I'm asking now, right? Yep. Right. So, okay. I'm sorry. Continue, please.
I think that's the reason that would be a G.
Yeah, I think to
yes.
To talk
and
about...
And I would stick with that reason in the G.
Let go.
And let go.
Right.
You know? It's a particular suitability because the case law says that when you look at A, the promotion of the general welfare... Medici versus BPR, which is the 1987 New Jersey Supreme Court case on D1 variances, says promotion of the general welfare is the zoning purpose that most clearly amplifies the meaning of special use. Mm-hmm. The court said the benefit of the general welfare from a typical non-inherently beneficial use, like this one,
mm-hmm.
commercial use,
right,
derives from the development of a site that's particularly suited for the very enterprise proposed. So,
correct, but particularly suitable is not defined.
It's all case law.
Right, so we have a precedent, right? None has been cited.
Yeah, the suitability has been interpreted by the courts. I'm hoping that I'm going to find something in here. In the context of the positive criterion, Type 2 ability is not concerned with the zoning ordinance criteria, but instead is focused on why the location of the site within the municipality or the region is particularly suited despite the zoning that says it's not allowed. What unique characteristics of the site itself make it particularly appropriate for the proposed use rather than a permitted use? This is in... Older, the Cox book in section 32-4 of the site suitability test. Let me just make sure the chapter number is right around 2015. Hold on 1 second. Yep. So in the 2019 version, section 32-4.2, starting on page 698. So,
is it defined? Particularly suitable?
Not the term, but the test. The test.
And what is the test again, please?
Slowly, John. Jackie was already giving you
that. Why the location of the site within the municipality or the region is suited to the use despite the zoning that prohibits it, and or two, what characteristics of the site itself make it appropriate for the proposed use rather than having a permitted use on the site.
Right, so it's a general outline, and I had it in my notes. I'm going to get to that in a second. I specifically wanted to skip over that so I could get to the MLUL purposes, and I agree. First of all, you guys make whatever argument you want, but I think Mr. Drill is correct. You're better off making one good argument than three weak arguments. You know, creative development, I'm just not buying it. The other board members may, but...
I think he's agreed to go with the site, and that's going to be a condition of the approval.
And that's a good argument. I think that carries the day. And coming back to the site suitability, I do think the site is suitable, and maybe you said it, and I didn't quite pick it out. To me, there's a site that's the right size for the operation that the applicant wants to put on there, and, I hate to sort of couch this just in the fact that there's not a lot of negative impacts. To me, less negative impacts is not the same as having some positive impacts. But to develop a site for a use that's appropriate that would increase the tax base are positive criteria. And you don't need a lot of positive here because the negative hurdle is pretty low in this case. So I'm starting to ramble a little bit here, so I apologize.
That's okay. Chairman's prerogative. It's fine. You're good.
Yeah. So those were I do like the use on this site. I just wasn't crazy about the arguments. So.
I got you.
Okay.
Well, hopefully the follow-ups clarified it a little bit and maybe solidifies it a little more in your mind.
Yes, and the closing of the site on 31, that clinches it for me, and we'll have to make sure we get the wording on that correctly in the resolution. So I'll stop on that, and I'll see if there's anyone else that wants to comment or ask questions on those points.
So the only thing that I would add is the fact that, you know, for all the improvements that I see that seem to be massive, we're still under the bulk requirements for area ratio, pavement, etc. You know, and talking about the trees, and, you know, we're going to argue 5-10 years from now we're going to see something. When I drive down 78, I watch in front of me anymore. Maybe my passengers might look around, but I think, you know, the visibility and everything, what they're proposing, especially restricting this with not only, I was thinking fences. Along the line, look at this 31, and he just improved 31 site. Did they just improve a bunch of fences? I was thinking about that here. But we have trees, we have curb, and we also have grading. Everything's still being confined, I would almost say, a ball in one sense, I think grading or retention base, a deep edge base. On the other side, if everything's kind of compressed and really doesn't exceed it. Land coverage, per se, that is permitted more.
You like it?
I kind of like the site. It's up to these fellows, and we're still under the ground cover. I just don't know why it's a 30-foot wide driveway other than 24 or something like that, but that's up to them, and we are under that coverage, so I don't have a problem with that. The only thing I was into is, you know, the benefits of the public. I think we go back to 31, one argument.
31, that's it.
That's point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Are we in the support discussion of this?
I think the user's
hearing is still on.
Right. I was asking the, I was sort of answering testimony.
He was cross-examining the planner. He was
right.
Cross-examining the planner.
Yeah. And I asked if there was anyone else that wanted to comment on the planner's testimony. We weren't really going to debating.
Let me say, does anyone else have any more questions? And if not, you can deliberate.
Yeah. Anyone have any questions for the plan?
Are we still, is the outside storage resolved yet?
Well, that's part.
That's the other variance.
That's also a D1 use variance.
So ask them, if you have questions about that, ask them about that.
With all your testimony you just gave them all, all that information you think to satisfy the exterior storage of all that material?
Both, yeah. I think the characteristics of the site that make it suitable for the construction company use also make it suitable for the outdoor storage based on the limited visibility, the, you know, fact that we can buffer it significantly.
But what he's saying is the outdoor storage is accessory, customarily accessory to the construction use. That construction use is not permitted. So that accessory use is not permitted. But what they're basically saying is if you're going to have a construction facility, it has to have some sort of outdoor storage. That's basically what they're saying. You can't do it without.
I understand that and get used. I can understand whatever the other comments I would think along that use. Also, if it's, and Mr. Baker said before, it's just a temporary type storage of material that's necessary to run the business, I can understand. Can there be a condition upon that? Say, that's not going to be that long, a week, 2 weeks, or I don't know.
That's interesting. Break it down between equipment and interior. The equipment, during the winter, for example, if things are slow, you might have that equipment might be there for a long time.
Correct.
What about material?
Materials, again, we're not storing a lot of material on site.
Right, but his question is, would you be willing to have some kind of durational time period on the outdoor storage of materials?
Well, I'm not even sure what that material is going to be. It might be nothing at some times. And
right.
Then again, if we confine our sand and stone, which we recommend, which I have no problem with that at all, but there might be some pipe there, might be some rebar there that's stacked neatly or whatever.
He's not saying that. What he's not saying is he doesn't want it to start to look like Route 31. That's what he basically said.
Right. And I don't want it to look like that either.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's wondering if there's some sort of condition that you could think of that would ensure that the outside stuff doesn't take over the site. Now, I know one part of it is you have designated areas for it. That's one part of his answer. But the other part is, I mean, what if you had RCP just lying there for a year, 2 years, waiting to have some job for it? What he's saying is he's preferring not to have that happen. Are you going to have some kind of durational thing, not on equipment, but on material?
I'm not sure how we would word it.
Well, I would word it.
Yeah.
The concept is...
Well, and I would say, how are you going to monitor it? You're going to send up...
Enforcement is a different issue.
Well...
I can tell you how things are generally enforced. Things get out of hand, and a neighbor or someone sees it, and they call up the zoning officer. The zoning officer goes out there, and that's how enforcement happens in most places in the state of New Jersey.
But wouldn't we want to be strapped so that we can't operate a business there? But we're not, I consider it's not looking at like 31. Places can be neatly or curbs.
I give you my personal take. I would not want to overly handcuff the applicant to run his business the way he wants. I think Chen said it the right way. If these things are stored in a particular designated area,
as specified by the specified that we're talking about.
Do what you want as long as it's there. I don't care if he stands it there 2 months or.
You know, that time, yeah. And it wasn't the handcuffing. I'm just saying, you know, you don't know when the next job is going to come. I can understand that.
You all right with what Tom and Sharon are suggesting?
And what was the.
If you could have limited to those two areas on the site.
One area.
The material is limited to
one area up north. And it's
going to
have
monuments
and curving. Only in that northerly. Yes. Areas. Yep. Yeah.
Behind the building.
And
curving.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought we were
going
to both north and south.
It's just
the north.
No, the south is excess equipment. The north is equipment and materials. That's the note on the plan.
Okay. Yes.
Hey, John, a thought on positive criteria for outside storage as an accessory use. Might it be said that outdoor storage is required in order to maintain a viable primary use of the construction business?
Yeah, absolutely say that.
That's why? Will that be sufficient?
Yeah,
you're
using the same logic as before. You want
to
get the stuff off of the
31
site,
there's bulk
material that
you have to put here. Oh, right, yeah, the same argument. Yeah. Yep, good argument. Okay, any other questions for the planner?
We have no questions for the planner.
Right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So, sir. Give your testimony.
My testimony is I'm not going to belabor. You've heard enough. My one request was a 4-year period instead of your typical, or 3-year. I had 4 written down, John, but I
the general rule is if you have a building that has a preliminary permit, you're going to be 2 and 1. You want 3, and how many? You want 3 years to pull a permit, and how many years do you want to complete construction? Maybe you want 1 year, maybe you want more than 1 year.
It might take longer than you. I don't want to start it, yeah.
So you want to go
2 and 2, or 3 and 2.
3 plus 2.
Right.
That's the point. 3 years to pull permits, 2 years to get the CO. 2 years from after the first permit.
And did we talk about, I think I heard, a year after CO to clean up 31 South?
Not to clean it up. It's clean it up, shut it down.
Okay. You agree with that, sir? Okay. That's good. That's the ticket. Okay. You ready to deliberate, then? I think people are generally in favor of this. Anyone offer any comments?
What comment I'd offer is to the positive criteria question in promoting general welfare. I think one of the reasons that is vague is because there are a lot of things that can promote the general welfare. For instance, he has employees who probably live in this area. The fact that they can continue to live in this area and work in this area, I think, promotes the general welfare. The fact that he's going to have a business and he's going to be going to the hardware store and buying hamburgers and going to the restaurants and ordering on, you know, those kind of things. They're certainly minor, but they do promote the general welfare.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The fact that it's a local business, so they're not coming from a great distance using the high, you know, less wear and tear on the highway. I think the general welfare can be a real minor idea.
Yeah, good points. Yeah.
I agree with everything Paul and I also want to add that in some ways this is a better use than other permitted uses in the zone. This is a use that is able to be hidden from public utility screening, whereas civic office buildings and stuff like that, you don't want to be hidden, you want to be seen with the others. Because they go on the setback line, they're willing to be a screen as much as possible, pull back as much as possible.
I guess my comment is that there are two reasons that a use may not be permitted. And one is you really don't want it there. We had
we have the council decided that we had too many gas stations and other automotive uses in the township, and so we were going to prohibit any more from being built. We actually didn't want more dealerships and gas stations and things like that. The other thing is, I mean, the other kind of non-permitted use is because it hasn't been included in all of the laundry list of things that are permitted.
No one thought of it.
And now, if it's permitted in one zone and then not in another zone, well, that's kind of an indication that you have to take a close look at it. Really close look at it. But if it's not permitted just because it's not on somebody's laundry list, it seems to me that's a much lower hurdle. Although I don't think there's any case law.
No, but that's an interesting point. There is no case law that says that, but it's very interesting.
So that's where I'm coming from on this.
So you're in favor of?
Yes.
Okay.
His hurdle was much lower, so it was much easier for him to get over it.
Any comments you want to add?
Does everyone agree with the C1 and the C2 and the exception reasons that were given by the various experts?
Yes.
I got from the deliberation the step of the B1.
Okay. Just want to add one more thing, unless Tom, you have anything else you want to add here?
No. Okay. I got a little. So I'd say everybody taking care with all the complying with that I heard of, all the different reports and engineering aspects, things like that. So that will all be taken care of. Everything's fine.
John, I just wanted to comment on your thoughts around why it wasn't included. And I spent a lot of time thinking about that. Why would something not be permitted in a zone? And of course, there's no documentation in the ordinance that explains to us what they were thinking about when they wrote this. So I'm just trying to think. I'm just sort of rambling again here. You said it's my prerogative, right? I get another couple. Maybe two more minutes here, and then I'll stop this. So to me, there are a couple reasons why you might not. You might not like it visually. You might not like the use at all in your district. And then there was another one that came to mind. There may be a resource that's valuable that I don't want to give away to some uses because I'm reserving them for other uses.
Reserving them for permitted use.
For permitted use. And in this case, the valuable resource is access to Route 22. So might I decide I don't want to give this away to uses that don't need this because I want to reserve it for nursing homes or retail that need access to Route 22. And I don't want anyone putting a use there that doesn't need them. Let them go put it someplace else. But, of course, now I'm just speculating. There's nothing in the ordinances that would agree with me or disagree. And I went to go do some research and couldn't find anything one way or another. So that was a dead end for me. But I considered some of the points you raised there, but they didn't lead me to anything that would make a positive argument one way or another. So that's it for my rambling. I'm done. Okay, I'm in favor of this.
Let me ramble on.
Okay.
Back in the early 80s, we were revising ordinances, as planning boards have a habit of doing. And we had a use in several areas, recreational facilities. And we started thinking about it, and we decided, yeah, they're a great thing to have, but how do you write an ordinance? I mean, we have summer camps, we have riding stables, have tennis courts, community swim pool. All of these require totally different considerations in where they could be located and what kind of setbacks they require and everything like that. So we said, well, we'll just take that out and treat it as a variance. Now, at that time, the planning board was overstepping its bounds in granting variance. If you look through old cases, you'll find a lot
of... That's zoning by variance, which the court said that's one of the worst things we could do. You're not supposed to punt like that. Interesting.
Okay, are we ready to vote? Okay.
So I want to make a motion to grant... Yeah. All the relief that's been discussed is on the D1 balance, the C1, the C2, the exception, and the preliminary and final site plan approval.
So moved.
The second?
Yeah.
Mr. Maxson to
make the motion.
Okay. Okay, John, you want to call the roll?
So lay off the agenda. I'm going to go with Lewis first. Lewis.
Yes.
Maxson.
Yes.
McCaffrey.
Yes.
Pepper.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Stevens.
Yes.
And Gager.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much, everyone. Really appreciate it. Have a wonderful week.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Tom, one for the it might be worth mentioning this use as a proposed ordinance amendment and
construction. Yes. Good point. Those are all clean stuff happening indoors. This is an outdoor component. Generally, when you read the list, it's also clean indoor stuff. You might be right. There are some uses where you want to pass a law, like assisted living or nursing home. You don't need to be on each one, too. If you had a sign and you put that back, that would be ideal. But it wasn't the right kind of thing. Okay. Motion to adjourn, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Second.
Hey, Roberts. You can leave. Thank you. And right, and the time is 10:57. What's up? Exciting.
We haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, right. This is it. All right, I'm just going to leave it for Denise.
That is it.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And you can do this for a week. She's not coming here next year. Next week. Well, next month. I don't even know if we have any cases next month.
There is California.
I've been there. The Truckee Diner? Oh, yes.
It was
I know. I've been to that doctor. Yeah. Yeah.